Welcome, my friends, to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, also Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Kevin.
I want to do some geopolitical stuff on this edition of the program. Now, that's something we can handle, right? Because, well, the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. You agree that the Word of God must speak to every area of life, and we should talk geopolitics from time to time.
Sure.
As Christians.
Yeah.
It's legit, right? We can get into that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have people say, hey, you're not talking about the gospel all the time. Why are you talking about all these things and trying to equip the man and women of God for every good work? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, the question is, what is the gospel?
Well, yeah. It affects everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. The question is, the gospel, what is it? And again, I'm going to return to my hobby horse, and that is when in the Great Commission, Jesus said, we're to go out and to teach them to observe all that he commanded. Now, is there anything about which scripture is not clear and does not address?
I don't think so.
So it addresses political issues. It addresses government. It addresses law. It addresses entertainment. It addresses how you spend your money, economics. It addresses everything.
Well, we're going geopolitics. Now, I didn't see any other newscast carry these two stories, but we did on the World View. This week, we picked up both stories, the birth implosions in the East and the explosion of military buildups in the East. It's a ticking time bomb. It's a ticking time bomb. Can you hear it? Tick, tick, tick. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
It's ticking, guys. This thing's ticking. Now, today we're going to talk about the rise and fall of the East. The rise and fall of the East. Now, the timing is interesting. It's just a bit delayed over the rise and fall of the West. That is, I've written a book called Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, which is a very interesting story. But the rise and fall of the West, Bill, is a little ahead of the rise and fall of the East. The East will fall post-2050. The West has already fallen. You can read the story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. Now, some people say China is never to be concerned about. I'm sorry, but China is on the rise. And yes, China will fall. China is about to fall, but not quite yet. So read the story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. But here's the first story. South China Morning Post reports 11 major hospitals have suspended birthing operations in China since last June due to China's ongoing birth dearth. China only saw 9 million births last year. Now get this, down from 18 million in 2016.
Whoa.
Bill, that's 8 years.
Whoa.
That's off the cliff. That's off the cliff. I couldn't believe it. China's ongoing birth dearth. Man, China saw 9 million births, down from 18 million. That's the lowest birth rate since records were made available back around World War II. China also suffered a population loss of 500,000 last year. That's just the beginning. They're going, forget this. Demographers are saying China will lose 700 million people, or half their population, in the next 80 years. Japan is dropping from 130 million to 50 million. South Korea is dropping off from 51 to 28, the same size as North Korea by 2100. North Korea is pretty much flatlined. So South Korea will be effectively North Korea in 2100. I think it's pretty obvious the military state of North Korea will subsume South Korea, and the military state of China will subsume Japan, as the U.S. takes second fiddle in world politics. I mean, that to me is a no-brainer, I think. Now, there's some who argue with Case, but it seems to me that's the trajectory that's going on right now. China will subsume Japan, and North Korea will subsume South Korea. And the U.S. is going down. But here's the big deal. The big deal is the fall of China is coming post-2050. The fall of China will include 700 million. That's a total of 800 million people in the East disappearing in the next 75 to 80 years. It's never happened in the history of the world, never, except perhaps before the worldwide flood. The worldwide flood obviously was a significant demographic shift. Would you agree?
Right. And we really don't know how.
From perhaps 800 million to eight. That's a demographic shift.
Pretty
that's a shift.
Yeah.
We're certainly seeing something here, Bill. This is the worst event in human history, as far as I can tell, since World War II. World War II took out 65 million people. That's on average. Some say 40 million, some say 100 million, but somewhere around, say 65 million. But here, over the next 60 to 70 years, and we're just talking about three nations. I'm not talking about all the other nations. Include the other nations, you're probably going to throw in another 300, 400 million. You're talking about over a billion people wiped off the face of the earth in just the next 50 years. And that does not include what happens in World War III. Okay, so very significant things are happening. The world is coming to not an end necessarily. I don't know how this is going to go. But what's interesting, friends, is the significance that a worldwide shift has. Here's a BBC article that brings out an anecdote. Listen to this. It's good to sometimes hit an anecdote. What's going on? How do you get a demographic shift like this? I mean, it's probably worth a conversation. The worldwide flood was probably worth a conversation.
I think it should have been a conversation prior to.
It would have helped us a little more prior to. Right. Well, we're having the conversation a little bit prior to. The BBC article talks about Beijing resident Lily, who's not planning to have children anytime soon. The 31-year-old, who's been married for 2 years, wants to live my life without the constant worries of raising a child. Quote, I have very few peers who have children. And if they do, they're obsessed about getting the best nanny or enrolling the kids in the best schools. It sounds exhausting. And, friends, that's the self-centered existentialist worldview that is utterly dominating the Western world. And that's why our birth rate is 1.7, heading to 1.4, soon to be 1.2, and then after that 1.0. And the evangelicals are bopping along about 0.1 ahead, doing a little bit better, just slightly better. The evangelicals are typically about 1.8 over the 1.7, so yay, yay, yay. Y'all doing a great job out there. Keep up the good work. Ease off on the board of patience, if you can think about it. I guess that's my message to the evangelical crowd, anybody who's still listening to me. I don't know if anybody listens, but well, but I just don't see a recovery from the self-centered existentialist worldview outside of a pretty severe governmental policy.
Wait, or a war
or something of that sort. But
I'm getting some stuff coming in over my headphones. Uh-huh. Here. I'm hearing people's comments already. Something about, oh, you troubler of Israel.
Oh, you troubler of Israel. Yeah. You're a troubler of the whole world. Stop troubling the whole world. What's wrong with you?
We need a little more positivity. Can you be a little more positive? We need positive energy in here.
Well, let's take a break. This might be a good time for a break. So let's take a break, and I want to hit the second story. So the first story was what? The population bomb.
Yep.
The second story is the other bomb. The rise of the war states. Mm. In the East. So you got these two things going on simultaneously. I just think it's interesting. Probably worth a conversation. Be back with more in just a moment on Generations. Hello, my friends. For the last 15 years, the Generations team has produced a Christian curriculum specifically for families who want to give their children a God-centered, Bible-saturated, biblical worldview-based education. Our commitment is to restore the Christian faith, generational faith, in an age where we are losing faith in this country and almost anywhere around the world, where Christian children attend secular schools or use secular curriculum and imbibe secular culture. Now, we're not relying on the pre-Christian Greeks for an educational model here. We're not relying on the post-Christian secularists for the education model either. Our curriculum is based in a biblical worldview. We put hundreds of Bible verses in the history books and integrate the truths into the subjects. We want to glorify God on every page of the science books. We immediately integrate knowledge into life application and natural revelation with special revelation. We keep Christ at the very center of the history books with preparing the world for Jesus and taking the world for Jesus. I believe God is calling this generation in this highly secularized age to a radical change in how they disciple their children. Please check out our program for education of your children and grandchildren at www.generations.org. Back on Generations, Kevin Swanson with you. Two things happening simultaneously in the eastern part of this world. And friends, the world's not over yet, and the saga continues. So what's happening? Well, the rise and the fall of the East. And so, at this point, they are achieving a level of desperation. First, they're losing half their population. Second, their increase in their military budget's big time. Now, remember, There are 35 million more men than women in China because of the gender-specific abortions that took place with the one-child policies of the 1980s, 1990s. There are 35 million more men than women in China. That's 35 million single men, about 30 times the size of the U.S. military. Now, what do you do with 35 million extra men?
You gotta send them to war, conquest.
That's what they've done throughout all the centuries of this world's history. Okay, so everybody knows what happens there. But the population bomb yielding the other bomb. So, friends, now listen carefully. Eastern nations are building up their respective military complexes. Japan's defense budget's expanding 16.5% year over year, inching up to 2% of GDP, up from 0.9% in the 1990s. And China has also announced a 7.2% increase on its military expenditures for 2024. That's official numbers. The unofficial numbers are higher, obviously. And if you study some of the reports, you're going to know there's more there. That's $236 billion, almost double what it was in 2013. So we've got a doubling the budget since 2013. Data point. I mean, people need to pay attention to this kind of stuff. China's got 500 nukes and soon to be 1,000, at least by 2030, but more likely by 2026, 2028. They're doubling, tripling their nuclear arsenal. Even more significant, India's military spending has increased from $14 billion to $77 billion since 2000. Meantime, you say, well, U.S., obviously we're competing. Well, we've actually dropped from 7% to 3.5% of the GDP on military spending. The U.K.'s military budget also dropped from 5.4% to 2.2%. Russia has remained about average 4%. The 5% of the GDP hasn't really gone up or down for the last 25 to 30 years. So the U.S. military, half the size, that's by GDP, still big. We understand that. China's military has doubled its size, and India's military has increased by fivefold over the last approximately 10 to 15 years. So also just be aware that worldviews are shifting as well. Animus against Christianity in India and China, where is that? Probably increasing exponentially.
Increasing.
So all I'm saying here is stresses are forming. Population bomb exploding, imploding. Meanwhile, military spending expanding. Probably worth taking note of. Rudyard Kipling's Gods of the Copybook headings, I couldn't help but remember this portion of it. Listen, when the Cambrian measures were forming, they promised perpetual peace. They swore, if we gave them our weapons, that the wars of the tribes would cease. But when we disarmed, they sold us and delivered us bound to the foe. And the Gods of the Copybook headings said, stick to the devil, you know. And on it goes. You've heard the rest of it. On the first Feminian sandstones, we were promised the fuller life, which started by loving our neighbor and ended by loving his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Till our women had no more children, and the men lost reason and faith, which is happening everywhere now, and the Gods of the Copybook headings said, the wages of sin is death. In the Carboniferous epoch, we were promised abundance for all by robbing selected Peter to pay for collective Paul. But though we had plenty of money, there was nothing that money could buy. And the Gods of the Copybook headings said, if you don't work, you die. Then the Gods of the market tumbled, and their smooth-tongued wizards withdrew, and the hearts of the meanest were humbled, and began to believe it was true, that all is not gold that glitters, and two make four. And the Gods of the Copybook headings limped up to explain it once more. As it will be in the future, it was at the birth of man, there were only four things certain since social progress began. The dog returns to his vomit, the sow returns to her mire, and the burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire. And then after this is accomplished, and the brave new world begins, when all men are paid for existing, and no man must pay for his sins, as surely as water will wet us, as surely as fire will burn, the Gods of the Copybook headings, with terror and slaughter return. This, I believe, was Rudyard Kipling's last poem. Written in, I think, 2017, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, 1917. Give it a century back. Well, let me just close with this. And I think this is very important, Bill. Very important. People say, well, what in the world is a Christian worldview program talking about the military about? And why talk about geopolitics? Well, God has ordained civil government to defend the nation, Romans 13. And we still have very little in terms of missile defense, especially. A new study of U.S. missile defenses has found, get this, after 70 years and some $350 billion in investment, no system thus far developed has been shown to be effective against realistic ICBM threats to the homeland. Creating a reliable and effective defense against the threat posed by even the small number of relatively unsophisticated nuclear-armed ICBMs that it considers remains a daunting challenge, says the APS report from February 9th called Ballistic Missile Defense Threats and Challenges. The study asserts that directed energy weapons for intercepting intercontinental ballistic missiles early in their flight will not be ready for prime time within the next 15 years. As for space-based interceptor SBIs, a concept revitalized during the Trump administration, the study finds that hundreds of on-orbit platforms will be needed to shoot down only one of North Korea's least capable ballistic missiles. And we're not talking about the Chinese or the Russians with their high-speed hypersonics. No. We're just talking about the El Cheapos. Laser weapons for boost phase intercept based on aircraft, drones, or space platforms will not be technically feasible within the 15-year time horizon of this study. Further, a space-based interceptor system would require at least 400 orbiting interceptor platforms to counter a single liquid-fueled North Korean missile, to counter 10 such missiles launched within a short period, at least 4,000, and because solid-fueled missiles are more demanding a challenge, he said, intercepting just one would require 1,600 SBIs. Now, again, why would I be interested in this in a Christian worldview-based program, Bill? Well, it's because the Word of God is there to equip the man of God, and we are to disciple the nations by teaching them to observe everything that God has commanded us. And part of that is Romans 13. The responsibility of the federal government is not to provide food stamps. It is not to somehow counter parental rights and get involved in education. It is not to do the 99.9% of what it does. No. The number one purpose of the federal government is to defend the nation from the bad guys. And our federal government is disobeying God, more focused on redistributing wealth. Now, since Ronald Reagan suggested the idea of Star Wars, which is what we're talking about here, what, 42 years later? Our civil government has spent $117 trillion. Okay, since Ronald Reagan stepped in and said, you know, I think, and I believe that Ronald Reagan had something of a Christian worldview operating when he said, I think one of the reasons for civil government is to defend ourselves from the bad guys.
Right.
I mean, I think he had some common sense. Now, we have not had any common sense since then to speak of.
Yeah, he had the foresight to realize that we were at risk during the Cold War. And if I've got my story correct, he visited NORAD down in Colorado Springs, you know, the center of our defense.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And he asked, you know, what would it take to take this place out? And they said one bomb. And that's when he realized he had to bring an end to the Cold War and to the weapons continuing to be built by both sides. And he committed to bringing down the wall. And that was what did it, was what he saw at NORAD and what he realized could happen to this nation. And so he dedicated himself to bringing an end to the Cold War.
Sadly,
and it was peace through strength.
But sadly, Congress did not back the Star Wars idea.
Right.
Since Ronald Reagan suggested the idea, Bill, we've spent $117 trillion as a federal government on junk.
Yeah,
I mean, largely junk, redistributing wealth, stealing from one group, giving to another, fighting useless wars, but not really defending the nations from the most imminent threat to life this country could ever face. They spent, get this, Bill, only $350 billion on missile defense over 70 years. I'm talking about 0.1% of the federal expenditures were spent on missile defenses since 1980. 0.1%. What, where'd the 99.9% of the $117 trillion go? That's what I'm asking. Friends, listen to this program. They've only spent $350 billion, and they haven't even accomplished it. And they don't even have a hope to establish any kind of a system that would protect our lives over the next 15 years. People say, well, it'll never happen here. Think I'll have another beer. The one thing the civil government was supposed to do, it hasn't done for us. And the consequences will be devastating. Now, the reason for that is what, Bill? They don't fear God. Our federal government doesn't fear God. Our federal government doesn't take Romans 13 seriously.
Right. They don't take Romans 13 seriously, and they don't follow his commands. They don't follow what the jurisdiction of government should be laid out in Scripture, and that is to punish evil and reward good. How do we get rewarded? With liberty. It is to protect the liberties of the citizens through defending against enemies, not just internal, but external as well.
People trust also these godless, liberal, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual United Nations to bring peace into the world. That's the reason why 99.9% of the people that might hear this program, you know, if we were just to throw it out there onto a regular radio program, 99.9% of the people say, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
it'll never happen here. Think I'll have another beer. That's the perspective of the masses. Why they trust human beings, right? They know Kim Il-sung will never push the button. He's a good guy.
Yes,
the heart of man is not deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. No way, no way, no way. And the United Nations, ultimately to be trusted. Ultimately to be trusted. The United Nations is ultimately to be trusted. They have brought peace to the earth. They are the most amazing peacekeeping government in all of existence. By the way, I wrote a poem when I was 18 years old. And there's a single line that sticks in my mind about world government. This is what I wrote. Just for one moment, they all come together, beginning the hell of a turn in the weather. I wrote that when I was about 18 years old. I can't remember what the rest of the poem said, but it had to do with world government. And it had to do with, I was thinking Psalm 2, that God was going to bring judgment on the nations because they were setting themselves against the Lord. And if there's an organization that has set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, Bill, it would have to be the United Nations.
Yeah.
You think about it. Of any organization on earth, if there's an organization that has set themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have to be the United Nations.
Yeah.
Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers have taken counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds of pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. And then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And I believe that the Father has done this. The Son of God is on the right hand of the Father, King of kings and Lord of lords. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, here's the exhortation to, well, the kings, the presidents of the world. Be wise, O kings, as in be very wise. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, be very wise. Be very wise. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And what I'm taking from this bill is, don't trust the United Nations to bring peace. Whatever you do, don't trust the United Nations to bring peace. Peace without bowing the knee to Jesus Christ is only more war. Let me say that one more time. Peace without bowing the knee to Jesus Christ means only more war. Even more war. But trust God. Put your trust in the Son of God. That's what it says here. Blessed are those who trust in him. And Bill, I think that's a lesson today. I think that's it. Trust God. Put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Bow the knee to him. And whatever you do, don't trust the United Nations to maintain peace. It ain't going to happen, Bill. It ain't going to happen. All right, friends, if you'd like a little more on this, just the rise and fall of the West and the rise and fall of the East, which somewhat delayed, maybe 20, 30 years. Read the story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. Third edition is out. I've got a brief introduction from John MacArthur, and I think you'll appreciate the additional chapter. I added a chapter as well to the new edition of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, just released, now available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.